petroleum and have it. Oh, it's nice to be here, it's nice to be clean. It's nice to be in London, not grafting on it anymore. How did it start coming to Narcotics Anonymous? How did I start coming to Narcotics Anonymous? I tried everything else. I started using drugs at an early age. Well, I started using other stuff before I started using drugs. It changed the way I felt. I cut my housing state, and my mum and dad were divorced at my age of 13, and I thought, well, my world fell apart and my dad left us. And I wanted all that other stuff what people had, what their dads were getting them, so I started committing crime. And in the late 80s, drugs come on the scene. It was all that Thatcherism stuff, and I started using drugs, and it was great. It took me away from me, to be about $100 on a housing estate, all hanging around the pub, we'd all go to one pair of family's houses, and we'd all get stoned, and we'd all go to Chippy, and we'd have munchies, and we'd go on a big hill, and we'd go and look at the spider, because we'd drop trips, and the motorway would turn into a spider, and we'd look over at Liverpool and you'd see the library building that turn into a policeman's helmet and all that type of stuff, and it was great. You didn't want to come off Biddy Hill, I remember getting nicked, and my man coming to visit me in Borstal and saying, oh, they're all on this stuff now, and this isn't about the substance, this is about the disease of addiction. And but I was sitting there in Boston and she said to me, they're all on this stuff now. And I said, what's the problem? It's only cannabis. The day I left Boston, two people met me, and because I had this reputation that, I'd do anything, I'd be up for any type of graft. And two people met me and took me to a block of flats and gave me a piece of foil and put a piece of powder on it and said, yeah, I sucked that. Before they burnt underneath it, I had a mouthful of powder thinking, oh, fucking, I'm going to get off my head with this. I didn't know it was heroin. Before I went away, I watched all that, Kojak film, Kojak on a Saturday night with my mum and my jammers, and you had to put heroin into a needle, and I didn't know this was heroin, when I'd finished spewing up on the stairway, I thought, oh, this is it, I found it, part of me getting out of Boston, my uncle owned a big load of stuff, and a big taxi rank and loaded property and stuff, and he gave me a neat type jag and said, someday all this is going to be yours, I'd go there every day, and I'd be shining my neat type jag, and putting tar on the black paint underneath it, and thinking, yeah, I'll have to, I don't have to go grafting anymore. I'd leave that place and go back to the housing estate, and four of us used to throw in 125 each for one of these little bags. And I'd go back to work the next day and I'd think, oh, I feel a bit cold. What the hell's happening here? And 3 weeks later I realised I was strung out on heroin. And I couldn't stop. And that was in and out of jail. Always saying, when I was in jail, I'm going to stop. I'm going to do this, this and this when I get out. As soon as I left them, left them walls, I was using within hours, and I come up with that bright idea, I'm going to go into detox. And that's what I did year after year. I used that detox centre as like an MOT. I got a new pair of trainees, I got a new jumper, I had hair done, so I got my hair cut, and put a bit of weight on. And as soon as I left that place, and I got back to the housing estate I was using within hours. I could never understand why. And I don't sit here slagging them places off. Them places didn't know what I suffered from. I didn't know what I suffered from. And I remember going to a festival in 1999, and I was sitting there outside the tent with a big bottle of meth thinking, oh, I've just had enough. I'm sick of doing this. I got back on the Monday and I went to this treatment place and said, I don't want my script anymore. And they were like, no, we'll give you more. But you can't stop. know, and I know today, you know, places are different, you know, they didn't know in them days. And, you know, I said, no, here's the script, I don't want it. You know, and I went to six doctors on the way home. I walked back to the housing estate where I lived, and the sixth doctor said to me, yeah, we'll give you DFs and Valium, you know, and but you've got to come here at 2 o'clock every day. You know, and I'd done that for a couple of weeks, and then, because I knew someone in that treatment centre, they said, come back and we'll do a short detox, 3-week detox, and that's what I did in 1999. You know, I'd done what them places told me to do. I put Class A drugs down, you know, and, you know, I left school with nothing. I got told there was never going to be no one, you know. I believe at the second year of my secondary school, you know, we were just put in the dunce class, you know, and giving them cards with the cat sat on the mat, you know, and, you know, because we were disruptive, you know, we didn't know any better. And, you know, I left school, and I left school with no qualifications, you know, and what I did was I went back to college, you know, and I'd done that basic and back to it, basic English and maths course, you know, and I realised I wasn't as thick as these people were telling me, you know, and, you know, and I went back to college and I studied, and the crazy thing was I went back and worked in them treatment places, you know, that I'd been going to for many years. You know, but I'd go out on a Friday night and I'd go out with non-addicts, you know, the people I worked with, you know, and I'd start drinking, you know, and by 12 o'clock at night I was dancing on tables, you know, and then people were going home, and I was like, where are you going? The party's just begun. You know what I mean? This is what you do as normal people, you know, and I wouldn't go home till a Sunday, you know, and, you know, I'd get up every morning, you know, and I'd have to have a spliff, you know, even though I was going to work in these treatment places, you know. I'd be getting the treatment out of a night and locking up and then going back to the staff bedroom and lighting a big spliff up and thinking, yeah, this is what it's all about. I haven't got a problem. You know, and I went to help two people one night, you know, and I walked into a flat and two people were smoking crack cocaine. You know, and the best way I can describe it, I had Mr. Nice on one shoulder and Mr. Nasty on the other, you know, and one said to me, go on. You know, you've done really well for all these years. Wouldn't it be nice to have smoking crack cocaine? You know, and the other one told me I was going to lose everything. You know, and I didn't know what it was that day. You know, I got that obsession to use. You know, and I sat down and I started smoking crack cocaine. And 3 weeks later, I was sitting in the YMCA with my head in my hands thinking, oh, I got here. You know, I have all this knowledge about addiction. You know, weeks ago I was taking, you know, I was sitting there, as the standing ahead of the class and, you know, teaching people how not to relapse and doing relapse prevention and triggers and boundaries and, you know, and, you know, a friend of mine who got clean, you know, in London 25 years ago, you know, was the only person I ever knew who got clean, you know, because the housing estate where I come from, you put one drug down and you picked another one up. You know, there was no such word as abstinence, there was no NA, you know, this was the best kept secret from us. And, you know, we told me to start going to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and that's what I did in 2004. You know, I started going to Narcotics Anonymous and, you know, I went in there and, you know, I'd sat at the back and I judged everyone. You know, I heard that word God and I thought I ain't coming back here. You know, these are all nuts, you know. You know, they let me wear a Salvation suit and banging a tambourine. You know, you know, but I had nowhere else to go. You know, and that's what, you know, I just kept coming. I don't even know what I heard in them first few meetings, you know, I didn't even hear that word keep coming back, you know, but I had, like I said, I had nowhere else to go, you know, and over the weeks I started getting nearer and nearer to the front, and someone said to me, Tony, take the cotton wool out of your ears and put it in your mouth, because you actually know nothing about nothing, and, you know, because I was a walking encyclopedia of useless information, I knew everything about everything, you know, you were never going to tell me anything. You know, I was never wrong. You know, I'd argue, you know, point blank in your face until in the end you give in and I was right. You were wrong. You know, and, you know, and I didn't come here brimming with honesty, open-mindedness and willingness. You know, I come here angry. An angry young man. You know, and, you know, and the fellowship, you know, was just evolving in Liverpool and, you know, I never heard any of this step stuff. You know, I only heard people coming to meetings and saying, you know, my life is great today and da-da-da-da-da, and I've got all this back in my life, you know. You know, but I went to Chester and I got a sponsor and he took me through the work, and the first time he sat me down, he said to me, Tony, you're going to use again. And I was like, how dare you tell me I'm going to use again? You know, I'm clean. I've got all this knowledge. You know, and I work through the steps of them, but I never got that grasp of being honest. You know, like I said, I come from a housing estate, and you didn't get honest. You know, you didn't tell people how you really felt. You know, and the consequence of my years now, you know, I've got hepatitis C, and I went on the treatment, and I was going to have someone out who got through the treatment that day. You know, and I had no obsession to use drugs that morning. You know, I'd worked through the steps. You know, I was doing all the right stuff. You know, and I was sitting at a traffic light, and 5 minutes later, I was sitting on the landing, smoking crack and cocaine, and I thought, how have I got here again? You know, and I wasn't going to come to Narcotics Anonymous, come back, you know, because my pride was massive. And, you know, I remember, you know, it took me back out there for 12 months, you know, and the last 3 months of my using, I really did try to kill myself, and a guy saved my life, you know, and I remember sitting there crying, thinking I have to come back. You know, when I come back, you know, and I went to a treatment centre, and I wasn't going to go back to them treatment centres I'd worked in. You know, I went to a treatment centre where I was just on my own, you know, and I got that obsession to use 5 days after it stopped the detox, you know, and I hit my knees that night, you know, and I asked a God of my, that I didn't believe in, you know, for some help. You know, and 2 days later, I was sitting back in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I never had to use again. You know, I remember going to a day treatment centre and getting this disc, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I've done all this stuff, what this guy's talking about, I've done, you know, and you know, and that guy became my sponsor, you know, and a couple of months later, and, you know, I worked through the steps, you know, and the beauty of this is I've never had to use, you know, by coming here and doing this stuff, you know, if you knew around, you know, get a paddle. Get in the boat, you know, because the people I see who don't get a paddle and don't get in the boat go back out and use, you know, and, you know, it's dead simple. I don't complicate stuff, you know, I don't know everything, you know, I don't have to know everything, you know, what I do know is if I pick up that first drug, I'm off and running, you know, and I didn't know nothing about this, so I come to Narcotics Anonymous. I always thought it was the one that got me on the fifth day. You know, if I hadn't took that one on the fifth day, I wouldn't be strung out. You know, and I've just been in the hospital last week, and they gave me morphine and DFs, you know, and that was great for me. You know, but 2 days after taking them, or into taking it, you know, I looked in the mirror, and I had one big pupil and one little pupil, you know, and I had that strung out look on my face, and I said to the doctor, I can't take this stuff no more. And he was like, no, I'm a doctor, you know, you should be taking this stuff. And I said, no, you don't understand, I suffer from the disease of addiction, you know, and I stopped taking it on the third day, you know, and on that third day I had the goosebumps, I had my head racing going, well, you should be taking that stuff, Tony, you know, but I know what I suffer from today. I didn't know what I suffered from before I come to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and it's nice to be clean, thank you.